Donald Trump is president largely because of how well his campaign did in the Midwest. Trump picked up 50 more electoral votes from the region than Mitt Romney did in 2012, and it helped deliver him to the White House. Politics in many Midwestern states have been turning more conservative for years, and Midwest state houses have become proving grounds for Republican policies from restricting labor unions to expanding gun rights. We're going to take a look now at how Republican governors in the Midwest have changed the national political conversation with John McCormick, a reporter in Bloomberg's Chicago Bureau. Welcome.
Thank you.
And of the 12 states considered to be part of the Midwest, 11 of them have Republican governors right now. We'll talk about some of the policies they've pursued on a state level in a minute. But what do you think in general? How has the Midwest changed the national political conversation?
Well, there have been efforts in certain of these states to pass, things that are popular with the Republican base. I think probably Wisconsin is the biggest shining example for Republicans. Scott Walker there, of course, with his famous crusade against government sector unions in 2011. It has varied from state to state in terms of really how much has been accomplished on the Republican agenda.
Well, let's talk about Wisconsin. You brought that up as a really important one. And let's go back to 2011 when tens of thousands of demonstrators descended on the state capitol in Madison to protest Governor Scott Walker's Act 10, which restricted the collective bargaining rights for most public employees. It sparked an unsuccessful campaign to recall Governor Walker, and it helped launch his unsuccessful presidential bid. Here he is speaking to the Heritage Foundation in 2011.
Well, for us, again, it's about balancing the budget. It has been, will continue to be, and will always be about balancing the budget. But to the extent that we can show the rest of the country that we can lead when it comes to budgetary reform, to fiscal reform, to really tackling the tough issues. But I think in November, voters certainly here in Wisconsin, but I think across the country, elected people to turn things around.
Looking back, do you think that was a watershed moment for conservative politics in the Midwest?
It was certainly an important moment. Another quote from that time, and this speaks to sort of the theme that we're talking about. Walker was recorded in 2011 as part of a sort of a prank phone call, somebody who was posing as David Koch. And Walker said, thinking that he was speaking to David Koch, he said, "This is our time to change the course of history." It hasn't played out to be quite that dramatic. Really, Walker's biggest accomplishment was that fight with the union in 2011, and that's now 6 years old. So he has pushed some other conservative things right to work after saying that he wouldn't do it. And he also has pushed through drug testing for welfare recipients. Walker, I think, has found that you can only push so far in these purple states. And he certainly, worked to contain government spending. And I think that has been the one unifying thing among all of these states is that the governors have really stressed fiscal responsibility and cutting back the size of government.
And they've made the case that their policies will lead to more jobs. I mean, we're talking about a period of time following the biggest, recession since the Great Depression. These governors are tapping into something about how people feel. They want more jobs, especially in some of these Midwestern states where the industries have gone away.
Yeah, and they can point to some pretty good numbers. In Wisconsin, for example, the unemployment rate just recently came out, and it's 3.4%. It's the lowest it's been since April of 2000. Now, how much of that has to do with Wisconsin and Walker's policies versus the overall, U.S. economy is sort of, a point of contention. Sort of a balancing point to Walker's experiment in Wisconsin is neighboring Minnesota as well.
And Minnesota has a Democratic governor, Mark
Exactly,
Dayton.
Exactly. And both states are doing reasonably well economically, although you can make the case that Minnesota is perhaps doing even better than Wisconsin in terms of diversity of its employment base and sort of the robustness and growth of its economy.
Now, it does seem that one issue was a step too far for Midwesterners in one of the more conservative Midwestern states, which would be Indiana. Now, Mike Pence, the vice president, was the governor of Indiana, and he wanted to push through the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in 2015. The Indianapolis Tourism Bureau and others have said the law cost them tens of millions of dollars in lost business and gave the state a black eye on the national stage. And then Pence had to back off of that. Let's listen to him in a press conference in the midst of that controversy in 2015.
I don't believe for a minute that it was the intention of the General Assembly to create a license to discriminate or a right to deny services to gays, lesbians, or anyone else in this state. And it certainly wasn't my intent.
What did that moment mean, do you think?
Well, I think it was an example of how, even in a conservative state, sometimes conservatives can press too far. And for Pence, that really ended up being a pretty bad situation in that he backtracked from it, which really angered social conservatives, both in Indiana and nationally. They felt really betrayed by him. A lot of people weren't following Pence's political career prior to when Donald Trump selected him to be his running mate, just right around the time of the Republican convention. But Pence was not doing so well in Indiana. His approval numbers were not great. He was not looking like necessarily a shoe-in for re-election. And some of that had to do with, you know, the angering of social conservatives that he got involved with that particular issue.
Let's talk about Illinois, the state that you're in right now, my home state, a reliably blue state, but one with a Republican governor, billionaire Bruce Rauner, who has been in a stalemate with Illinois' democratically controlled legislature basically since he took office. Here's Rauner delivering his latest State of the State address in February.
When it comes to the budget, we all can agree Illinois has to do something different. Our administration has offered many proposals to achieve a truly balanced budget with changes that fundamentally fix our broken system. We must remember, this is critical, I ask, we've got to remember, to keep budgets balanced in the future, our rate of economic growth has to be higher than our rate of government spending growth. It's simple math.
How does Rauner fit into this world of Republican governors in the Midwest?
Yeah, he has been really stymied the entire time that he's been in office and is extremely vulnerable when it comes to re-election in 2018. He came into office wanting to sort of model himself towards Scott Walker in some respects. He wanted to be this, you know, pro-business, low tax, we're going to reform government in Illinois and confront unions. And he has just been turned back at every opportunity by a democratically controlled legislature. And that was one thing, you know, that Walker had going for him is, you know, he had more Republican support in his state. And that had something to do with redistricting. But Rauner has just really accomplished very little. Credit ratings for the state have continually fallen. Rauner is in a terrible position for reelection. It's going to be challenging. He's got some very wealthy and well-known people in the Democratic primary already positioning to get to challenge him.
And if the Democrats do take back the governorship in Illinois, is that the start, do you think, of a turning of the tide in the Midwest, or is Illinois kind of unique?
I think Illinois is unique, yeah. You know, the state obviously had Republican governors in the past, but they tended to be more moderates. I think Illinois is a exception to the rule here in the Midwest when it comes to Republican governors.
So overall, when you look back at all of the things that these Republican governors have done in the Midwest, and we haven't even mentioned John Kasich in Ohio, Rick Snyder in Michigan, Terry Branstad in Iowa, what kind of an effect do you think that they've had on the nation?
Yeah, they've all had their sort of unique stories. And you know, other than the efforts to try to balance budgets and rein in the size of government being the one sort of unifying thing, they've all had their own unique stories. Snyder in Michigan, you know, had to deal with the Detroit bankruptcy, and you know, which he got some credit for, but then came along the Flint water contamination situation, which really damaged him politically. In Ohio, Kasich, of course, had the distraction of a presidential campaign, but he, you know, really has focused on sort of, you know, state budgeting and trying to get the books in better shape there. But that has then in turn, you know, put pressure on local governments, places like Cleveland that have had to deal with, you know, financial situations because of the cut in state dollars. He's, you know, obviously been a bit more of a moderate. You know, he's, you know, unique from Walker. And then in Iowa, Terry Branstad, you know, the longest serving U.S. governor in history, he did sign a pretty extensive gun package that, among other things, will allow permit holders to carry guns in the Capitol. And, you know, they've all sort of had their local issues to deal with. Some have had local crises to deal with. So they all have sort of different stories.
Well, and we should say that it's not just the Midwest where there are a lot of Republican governors. There are a lot of Republican governors across the entire country right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is really a sort of a golden opportunity for the Republicans. They control 33 governorships nationwide. It's the most since 1922. They also basically control 25 states right now. Republicans have unified control of the governorships and the legislature in half of the nation's states. And it's a few years down the road, but it will be very important. And it's one reason Republicans are where they are right now. Is redistricting. Republicans had some strong control after the 2010 census and when the 2011 redistricting was done. And so these next couple years will be very important in terms of who's going to control the redrawing of the maps after the 2020 census and sort of how the political landscape looks in this decade ahead. And so that's going to be really important. And it was a reason why the Republicans are where they are right now as well.
That's John McCormick, who's a reporter with Bloomberg based in Chicago. John, thank you.
Thank you.